Amen. It is so great to come to Northside Baptist Church to get to hear our music. Our music is always great, isn't it? God blesses every single time. We appreciate our choir. We appreciate Mark and all that he does. I am so thankful to have Mark as our minister of music. He blesses my heart. And you know, he is always great. In fact, he is so good and our music is so good, you can endure the preaching. Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter, we are still stuck in Christmas. What a great place to be stuck. It is a great thing to know that Christmas is not a date on a calendar. And so we look to the second chapter of Matthew, the 16th verse. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would bring us closer to Jesus, Father, that we would want to serve you, that we would want to know you. Father, move in us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every year, in December, people began to flock to Bethlehem. It has been that way for almost 2,000 years. However, in 23, there was an attack on Israel. And when that attack came to Israel, the war of Gaza started, and the tension became so great that Christmas was stopped in Bethlehem. The mayor of Bethlehem put out an alert that there will be no Christmas in Bethlehem, no Christmas celebration because of the war in Gaza. Now, there have been several things that have caused that exact same thing to happen, but it is just unthinkable to us that in all places not to celebrate Christmas, that in Bethlehem, that celebration had ceased. Well, this year it began again. You know, we like to think about Christmas, and we like to think about Bethlehem, and we think about the shepherds, and we think about the wise men and the star and how glorious it all was, Mary and Joseph being faithful to God, the Christ child being born, and it is all so glorious, except for this passage. There's something happens here that takes the celebrating out. I was doing a crossword puzzle. I don't know if you ever do crossword puzzles. We used to have these things called newspapers. And a newspaper was a page in it that had what you see when you Google stuff. And so I was doing a crossword puzzle, and it asked for the name of the villain of Christmas. Now, I am seminary trained. I have served the Lord since I was 15. I trust the Lord greatly. So immediately, you know what name came to my mind. The Grinch. And so I thought about the Grinch, and it just didn't fit. And so I thought a while more. And you know, trying to think of that person that could have been the villain of Christmas. Well, I thought of Scrooge. And after Scrooge didn't work out, I finally came to the scriptures, and the scripture says, then Herod. Herod was good for Israel at a point. He built up Israel in amazing ways, but he lost it. He was so tied up in himself and in his power world, that he wanted everything to revolve around him. And when the wise men came and they asked that question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That was it for Herod. He was angry at the thought. He thought he could play the wise men. He was going to find out where this baby was and make sure that the baby was no more. But if you've been with us, you understand that the wise men did not go back to Herod. They were warned by God, and they went back home another way. Herod took that personally. He took everything personally. Herod had designated himself the king of the Jews. He had kind of bartered for that privilege from Caesar. He was not God's king. When we have leaders that are not dedicated to God, there's going to be an element of suffering that takes place. That's why we need to pray for those who lead our nation. That's why we need to pray for those not only in the White House, but those in the Senate, those in the House, those that are in positions of authority. We need them looking to Jesus. By the way, when voting times come, and they will, if you're a believer, you are obligated by God to vote. And you vote according to this book. You line it up as best you can with the candidates of choice, and you pray and you vote. Now, what do you do when they don't line up? We're finding that more and more, don't we? Well, you seek to find the policies as best they are, line them up as best you can, and who lines up best. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And one of the things you can start praying for now is that God will raise up committed believers who are willing to run for office. We need them. And we need them at every level. We need them on our school board. We need them on our city council. We need them running for our mayor. We need people that will bring Columbus toward Jesus. Well, Herod was not that. Herod was everything other than what God wanted him to be at this point. Verse 19 of this chapter is a chapter everybody was looking forward to. In verse 19, you find now when Herod was dead. It is really hard to imagine, but there are some people so vile that the only way they're going to help the world is by not being here. Their death brings glory. We need Herod to pass away. But he has not passed away. In this passage, he is still here. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Nabal. Nabal was a pain in the side of King David. And wherever you see Nabal, he was causing trouble. And there came the time that Nabal died. And you know, King David, being a spiritual man, when he heard that Nabal had died, this total pain, he said, "Blessed be the Lord." Well, there are some people that live that way. Proverbs 10:11 says, "When the wicked perish, there is shouting." So in these verses, it's too soon to shout. He's still alive. And in Herod, we see the world's anger. We are faced with anger in the world everywhere we turn. Why are people so mad? It seems that everybody has a chip on their shoulder. Well, Herod had a chip on his shoulder. Herod is really good at being mad, and he's really good at being bad, and he's really good at dealing with those around him that he thinks are trying to mess with his throne. He has one thing he does regularly. He kills people. He kills his sons. He kills his wife. He had one son that was honoring him, but was stating publicly that he was going to be the heir of Herod. Herod didn't like that. That son lived no more. Herod does the unthinkable. He is so fearful. He thinks there's a baby out there that's going to take his throne. And so he has this in mind when the star was in the sky, when the wise men came. We know when the wise men came, Jesus was already out of the baby stage. He was a young child. That's how the Bible identifies him. So in the 1 to 2 year world. So what is Herod going to do to remove this obstacle to his kingdom? Kill him. How do you know which one is him? You don't, so you kill them all. It did not bother him at all in any way, shape, or form to put out an order that all the children under 2 years of age, all the male children, be put to death in Bethlehem and its districts. What a terrible thing anger does. Be very careful when you get angry. Some people say, I don't get angry. You watch them, they do. There are boiling points for us all. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. And so if you're going to be angry and sin not, you better have a lot of control when you get mad. And take your anger to the Lord before you unleash it on people. Let God temper your anger. Be careful what you say when you're angry. When you're angry, what happens to your voice? It begins to get louder. And in fact, you sometimes just blurt things out. And then you hear what you blurted out and you wish you hadn't. You can't get it back. And if you've been here a while, you understand when the volume goes up, the brain goes out. And you say things you should not say. Be cautious when you're angry. There's anger in our government. Listen, you really need to pray for the parties that lead our nation. Parties, not one or the other, both of them, or any of the others that are on the side. Because they are operating with anger. Anything one of the parties does, the other treats with anger. Why can't they accept things? Why can't they at some point say, oh, that was a good idea? I mean, sometimes they got to do something right. And so brag on them when they do something right. Maybe they'll do it again. By the way, that's not a bad idea for those of you that are married. When your spouse does the wrong things, just be cautious with it for a while. When they do the right thing, brag on them. They will get better at the right thing. If you come at them for the wrong thing, guess what they're going to get better at? It's just the way we're wired. So be careful in anger. Well, the world's hostility is growing. And I believe the world's hostility is growing just because we have not done our job getting the gospel out. The way to fix riots in the street is to fix hearts toward Jesus. There's hostility toward Jesus himself. We see this in individuals at Christmas. You know, many cities have barred nativity scenes from any public spaces. And they do that because that little manger scene is an offense to people. It boggles my mind. They tell us when we're asked to do invocations, they want prayer at the start of stuff. They just don't want you doing it in Jesus' name. And of course, that rules people out that believe in Jesus. Herod's anger reminds us of the anger that's in our world. He hates Jesus so much, he has got to destroy him. And my friend, today there are people that hate Jesus so much, they are trying to wipe out the worship of him. Herod thought he had the power to destroy Jesus. Isn't that what they think? Let's quiet those Christians. Let's put it all away. Let's abolish their worship. Let's do what we can to quiet them and put them away somewhere. Let me tell you, they can't get rid of Jesus. No one can stop the gospel message. God will make sure of that. The wicked can't stop Jesus. You remember what they did with Jesus? They crucified Jesus. They took his body down. They put it in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. They put a Roman seal across the tomb. They put a guard at the tomb. 3 days passed. The stone couldn't keep him in. The Roman seal couldn't keep him in. And the soldiers couldn't keep him in. The anger flows and it looks to just unleash itself. So our world is getting less like Jesus and more vicious, more violent. Verse 16 says, Herod was exceedingly angry and sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem from 2 years of age and under, according to the time he diligently acquired of the wise men. Herod did the math. He's going to kill all the babies. Now, I've read a few of the liberal statements about this, and the statement was this. Well, it was not that many babies. How many male babies could there be under 2 years of age in Bethlehem? It's a small place. So probably at most 15 to 20. It's no big deal. No big deal. That is a problem of our nation. People have begun to think that life is no big deal. How many babies is it okay to kill? I believe one is too many. Can you imagine the terror in Bethlehem? You have a child. You are so thankful for that child. You've invited the family to come over. They'd say, talk about, oh, that baby looks like you, or that baby looks like you. By the way, that's usually an insult. Babies, Winston Churchill, usually. But anyway, you know, they're cute, but in a different way. And so, they get all that down. They name the baby. They're loving their baby. They're treasuring their baby. And all of a sudden, they don't knock. Soldiers burst in. They seize the child and slit the child's throat. Oh my, what kind of horror had to be in a young mother's or father's life? They went door to door killing babies. Who's knocking at doors killing babies today? Well, we know the abortion crowd is. Babies are being murdered in America at 1 million a year by abortion. We have this new world of internet ordering medications, and so you can order abortion pills on the internet. And states are trying to catch up. States where it is illegal are trying to find ways, because it's legal, for it to be posted and mailed. The cry is, a woman has the right to protect her body. I believe that. I truly do. A woman has the right to say no to an immoral relationship. abortion does affect the mom. I know it does. But it does affect the baby. And we have to understand the baby has rights and the baby has a body. And you're talking about destroying that baby and the baby's body. Babies are in jeopardy. I think alcohol is destroying children in many ways. I'm not saying people are getting babies drunk. I'm saying that people are getting drunk and that affects babies. When alcohol comes into a home and the mom and dad, because of that alcohol and what it does, can no longer live together, that robs the child of one of its parents. And it's tragic. It's strange to me I don't know if you heard the ads during Christmas, but every Christmas they roll out the ads, drink responsibly. Drink sensibly. My friend, the only way you drink sensibly is not to drink alcohol. Drinking a beverage that makes your mind useless is not good. And it's not good for anyone. It's certainly not good for children. We have people who push children into pornography. It is unthinkable. And yet it's going on in our nation. We have destructive music. Listen, I don't care if your music is loud. Don't play it in my ears, but I don't care. I appreciate the kindness of some people on the street that have their stereos in their cars cranked up so loud that I can go with the beat until they fade away. If there is language in your music that destroys people, language in your music that has a profanity that is immoral in its usage, if there's language in your music that tears down people or encourages people to end their lives, you've got the wrong music. And I'm not saying you have to listen to Christian music. Praise the Lord. Christian music is having an upswing in our nation. And I hope that continues. Even in the unchristian world, Christian music is becoming more popular. I'm for anything that lifts up Jesus. That's wonderful. Any style of music. Yeah, it doesn't matter the style. I mean, if you have a style of music that speaks to you above others, that's okay. Just make sure the content is not destroying you. But it's certainly attacking children. Television, try to find something without profanity. Try to find something without immorality. Things that used to be at what they called adult hours are around the clock now. The amazing thing is people think it's okay to put out this perverse music, free speech and all of that. To put out alcohol, which destroys brain cells, and we know that's true. To use illegal drugs. To promote suicide. All of that's okay. But my goodness, you better not talk about Jesus. If you talk about Jesus, you're crazy. It's not crazy to abort babies. It's not crazy to destroy your mind. It's not crazy to twist the mind of young people. But follow Jesus, you're crazy. Well, let me tell you right now, in 2026, I'm crazy for Jesus. And I'm okay with that. This world's anger, this world's agony. The children are slaughtered in verse 17. In Ramah was the voice heard, Rachel weeping for her children. This is a quotation of Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah looked at the sin of the people of God. He was aware they were going into captivity. He issued a message of sadness. You know, God sometimes weeps. Jesus wept when he saw Jerusalem and they were in unbelief. There was a sadness in Bethlehem because of the death of children. Long before that event, Jeremiah says, Ramah, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, that would have been in tune with the area of Bethlehem. Ramah, the place where the Jews as slaves had to report in order to be taken into captivity. Weeping for her children. So Matthew takes this prophecy. Prophecies have near times when they are fulfilled and far times when they're fulfilled often. So this was fulfilled in the near case, but it was fulfilled in this case. Matthew picks it up by the leading of the Holy Spirit and tells us that he was foretelling this lamentation that would happen in Bethlehem. Ramah, lamentation, grief, agony, Rachel weeping for her children. The loss of any child is a sad event. Some of you have gone through that experience personally, and I am so sorry. It is hard to imagine losing a child. The loss of children. You know, I am thankful that the Bible teaches that if a child dies without the age of knowing right from wrong, God cares for that child. David gives us evidence of that. David's child died as a baby. He said right away that the child could no longer come to him, but he knew in God he could go to where the child was. The lost children may not have a chance to know Jesus. But you know, there comes a time when even children know right from wrong and can make a decision for Jesus, knowing that they are giving their heart to Jesus. Do they know everything? Absolutely not. But they know they're a sinner and they know they need a Savior. And they can know that Jesus died for them on the cross. And if they can understand those things, they can turn from their sin and turn to Jesus and be saved as a child. Thank God for parents who teach their children, grow their children in God's house, learning about the Lord so that child has every opportunity to come to Jesus early. We're losing our children. We're losing our children to parents that don't care about God. We're losing our children to parents that get trapped by drugs or alcohol or illicit sex. We're losing our children to parents that will not get out of bed on a Sunday morning to bring their child to Sunday school. In 2026, among all the other things I'm asking you to do, I am asking you to pray for children. Pray for their safety. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their homes. There's sadness when children are lost. There's sadness and there's an absence of comfort. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted. Many people are crushed by sadness and they can't get over the trauma. The time of the birth of Jesus was joy with Jesus, but it was a time of sadness and weeping for others. Tragedies and no comfort. In Luke 13, Jesus deals with tragedies. He gives us some ideas. Listen, when tragedies come, don't judge the victim. We've got this thing in our society where people tend to blame those that are actually the victim of the tragedy. Well, if you hadn't have done this, they wouldn't have done that. No, people are responsible for their own actions. Don't judge the victim. Don't judge God. Maybe some of you in this room are mad at God. Listen, God loves you. God cares for you. God wants your best. The sin that comes into this world is what destroys. Don't blame God. Check out your own life. Are you where you need to be with Jesus? When tragedies come, you need Jesus. You need to know Him. You need to be close to Him. You need to hold to Him. And in that you can find comfort. Well, we see this world's agony. We see this world's anger. We see this world's answer. Verse 18 has mourning and weeping. Believers, when you do Bible study and you see these passages and it leaves you in an unsure place, mourning and weeping, the Holy Spirit says, keep on reading. Make sure you move on in Scripture and see what else God has to say. In Jeremiah 31:15, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. And the Spirit says, keep reading. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, and they shall come again from the land of captivity. A message to that day. They were going into captivity. Trust the Lord. Stop weeping. What you do for the Lord is going to be rewarded, and they're going to come again out of captivity. What a blessing. A message for Christians. Listen, everything you do for Jesus may not be lifted up here, but God notices it and God keeps it and God will praise it. Celebration may not be for this world. Celebration may be in what we find in the glory. But celebration indeed will take place. There is hope for your sorrows. There is help for your tomorrows. He's the one that can get you through. Does it hurt when you have a loved one die? Absolutely. Oh, but if they die in the Lord, you're going to see them again. That's the truth of God. What a blessing that is to know. And that hope is what gets us through. And sometimes we lose loved ones and sometimes they're not who they were. Sometimes they've lost their mind. Sometimes they've been so ill, they've not been able to be a part of a relationship. But when we see them in glory, all of that is gone, and God has shown us again what He has saved. What a blessing, glorious blessing that's going to be. The Scripture says, the Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. When the going gets tough, He is our refuge. You can go to Him and hide. You can go to Him for comfort. You find it in His Word. He is always there when times of trouble are there. And He's always there when things are good. 2 Corinthians 1:4, God comforts us in any trouble. Psalm says He heals the broken heart and binds their wounds. He tells the number of the stars and calls them by name. Can you imagine God's wisdom? Men cannot name the stars, can't even number them. God says there's Harry and there's Jim and there's Sally Mae. He knows them all. He knows what you're going through. He knows how difficult your life may be. And He knows how to carry you through. Trust Him. Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Jacob had a lot of problems. He wanted to marry Rachel. He went to his wedding feast. Everything was going good. They got him inebriated. He woke up. He had married the wrong woman. I've talked to several people that have married the wrong woman, a wrong man, in their words, not mine. Finally, he marries Rachel. She can't have children. He gets right with God. Rachel has a child. She dies in childbirth. Rachel is so torn, and knowing that she is dying, she names the child Ben-Oeth, son of sorrows. And Jacob changes that name, Benjamin, son of my right hand. Well, isn't it interesting? They would choose those names. In Rachel's passing, she gives a name close to the name that people called Jesus, Man of Sorrows. And Jacob, in wanting the child to have victory, names the child Son of My Right Hand, as Jesus is God's right hand. The only person that can comfort in times of sorrows is Jesus. The only one that can lift you up is Jesus. The only one that can give you hope is Jesus. Jeremiah says, they shall come again. Well, praise God, there is a hope. All those who die in Jesus will be alive again. Jesus gives help for sorrows, hope for tomorrows, hope for your future. But if you're going to have his joy, you have to follow him. If you're going to know his hope, you have to know him. If you've never met Jesus as your personal Savior, would you come to meet him today? Just walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. It's real simple. If you want him, I guarantee you he wants you. He loves you. Jesus died for you. Come and invite him to be your Savior. And if you know him, we're at the start of a new year. Determine you're going to serve him. I don't care what you did last year or the year before or the year before or the year before. In what God gives you of 2026, let's live for Jesus. And we'll celebrate in his victories. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you for your word. Father, continue to move in our hearts. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that they would come to know you right now. For believers, Father, that there would be a revival sweep through our hearts, that we would give our all to you, that we would bow before you, that we would have your way. Move us to decisions now. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.